Dean, I was just reading some New York Times information about the Alec Baldwin tragedy on the set of Rust. Explain something to me. I don't know if I understand this. The armorer on the set set up a two-tiered cart outside the set from which the assistant director took the firearm and handed it to Alec Baldwin just before the shooting. On the day of the shooting, the crew had been rehearsing a scene, then broke for lunch. And the armorer told detectives that at the start of the lunch break, the firearms were secured inside a safe on a prop truck. Very few people have access to that. And during that time, she said the ammunition was kept in the truck as well as on a cart on the set where they were not secured. But then she also told an investigator, no live ammunition is ever kept on the set. What am I missing here? It's very confusing.
Yeah, there's no reason in the world that there should be any live ammunition anywhere on the set. There's absolutely no reason for it whatsoever. And all of the points that you made about how things are said to have happened are the way that they are supposed to happen. There is an on-site props manager. There is this armor, the person who is in charge of handling all weapons that will be used, whether they are guns or swords for bow and arrows. Anything that could potentially be dangerous is handled by the person whose job title is the armorer. And then there is the assistant director, who's the final person. And supposedly all of them are supposed to check these things to make sure that they are safe. And what was discovered with the investigation yesterday, even though they said that there was no live rounds at all on the set, 500 rounds of ammunition were found on the set, and they were found to be a mix of blanks and dummy rounds and also live rounds. Why those live rounds were there, hopefully we'll find out as this investigation continues. But also it was revealed in an affidavit that came out yesterday is that the third person in this chain, the assistant director, whose name is David Halls, said that he checked the gun that was fired for obstructions, but said he wasn't sure if he had checked the whole revolver for live rounds before he handed it off to Alec Baldwin, who then fired the gun, killing Helena Hutchins. So there, was, I don't know if legally you would call that a legal admission, but he did, the person who was supposed to have checked the gun said he wasn't sure if he had checked the gun. So, we're learning a little bit more about how all of this possibly could have taken place. We've learned of kind of a history of lax protocol regarding all of this on this particular set and on previous movie sets on which this assistant director had worked before. So that's where we are with this whole thing yesterday. The local prosecutor in that area yesterday said they're still doing the investigations. It's too early to tell if there are going to be any criminal charges yet. But he said no one is, they're going to lay all the facts out and nobody is going to be immune once they determine actually what happened there.
We'll learn more again, I'm sure, today, as we are finding out more facts every day. What's the controversy about that Pixar trailer?
Yeah, it seems like it should just be a nice movie trailer that's released. It's the first look at this movie that is going to be called Lightyear. It's a prequel, a backstory of the Buzz Lightyear character. Buzz Lightyear, who is a toy. The premise in this movie is based on a real-life space hero named Buzz Lightyear. And it's a really cool trailer with David Bowie music involved in it. It's one of the coolest trailers that I've seen come out in quite a long time. Check it out. It's on YouTube and a lot of places this morning. But the controversy is there are lots of people asking how come Tim Allen didn't do the voice of Buzz Lightyear in this movie. And there are lots of groups saying it's because of Tim Allen's conservative political views that he is not being used as the voice of Buzz Lightyear in this movie. And, you know, the producers have all said has nothing to do with that whatsoever. One is a toy. That's the voice of the toy is Tim Allen. The voice of the person, if you will, quotes person, Buzz Lightyear, is a completely different person. And they chose the Captain America actor, Chris Evans, to do that. But it's relentless on social media. It's trending, actually, that, you know, Pixar is taking a political stance, and it has, you know, they say it has nothing, absolutely nothing to do with that.
Here comes my favorite part of Dean's entertainment report, theater news. What do you got for us, Dean? Well, now this is fortunate that we don't have the connection with Dean. Hopefully we'll
testing
get...
Testing, 1, 2.
There you go.
Testing, 1, 2. Hello, testing.
Now we got you.
Are we
okay.
Working? Okay, wait, let me hang up the phone.
You're on the air.
The phone.
So a Tony-winning director will be here, huh?
Yes. Yes, saying as if nothing had just happened. Kenny Leon just won a Tony Award for his play, Soldier's Play. Just won a Tony Award for Best Revival. And he's a pretty big deal on Broadway, and he just announced will be directing the world premiere of the play King James at the Steppenwolf Theater before it goes to Los Angeles. King James is refers to LeBron James, basketball great LeBron James, and is a play about two friends who communicate, talking and arguing about sports. It's going to be at Steppenwolf's Downstairs Theater March 3rd. Through April the 10th, but we've got more superstars coming into the Chicago area. Actor David Strathairn, who was nominated for an Academy Award for the film Good Night, Good Luck. He was in Nomadland. He was, is just in all the big movies. He's a huge movie star. Is going to be at the Chicago Shakespeare Theater. He is going to be starring in a production there, which actually starts next week. So we've got some pretty big names in the Chicago area right now.
Chicago entertainment reporter Bill Zwecker is auctioning off his stuff. Tell us about this.
Yeah, this is from robertfeeder.com, in which he reports that our longtime pal Bill Zwecker is auctioning off his Hollywood memorabilia. When you're in a job like his was, both at the Sun-Times and at a variety of TV stations in Chicago, you get a lot of stuff, swag from the movie studios, memorabilia from people that he has interviewed over the years. And according to robertfeeder.com, he's going to be auctioning it off through Leslie Hindman's auctions, things like a signed copy of Michael Jordan's memoir, which was presented to Bill on his 50th birthday, personal notes from Oprah Winfrey. That's what I'm going to try to get, those personal notes. I want to see what she scribbled down for him.
Sure.
But just all kinds of movie memorabilia, books and photographs and press kits and promotional items that that we get all of the time. When is this taking place? November 19th. It's going to be taking place. You can check out Leslie Hindman's website to get more information on that.
All right, you're next with your memorabilia auction, Dean.
Oh, my memorabilia is pretty impressive.
I can't wait.
I have several pieces of Mel Gibson memorabilia. Of that. My memorabilia all has to do with people that want to kill me. So,
video proof of that,
right?
I'm sure.
Right.
Whenever we can give a shout out to the Music Box, we like to do it because that is a Chicago treasure. Tell us what they got going.
It truly is just one of the finest theaters that we have in the Chicago area, and that one of the most famous things they do is their annual holiday double feature of the movie White Christmas. Coupled with It's a Wonderful Life up on the big screen, the way these movies were intended to be seen. And in between the two movies, they do a Christmas sing-along where it's like a follow the bouncing ball up on the screen, and they have somebody playing their mammoth organ that's in the theater, playing Christmas carols, and you sing, and people get all dressed up, you know, in their holiday gear, and, you know, come and sing along. And the whole thing is going to be back this year after not taking place last year because of the pandemic. They did a couple of showings online and one at a drive-in theater. But this year, the tradition will be back. It's going to be December 10th through to December 23rd, and the tickets for this go on sale on Monday. I bring it up now because these things sell out like crazy. So if you're interested in taking the whole family, which I highly recommend, going to check out these two classic movies, it's a lot of fun to go and watch them.
Glad tidings. Talk to you tomorrow, Dean.
See you then.